Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. We're starting the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis. We'll continue on with the Mishnayos of the famous Perek Ezeu Mekoymen Shel Zvachim. And we're up to the Chatois HaTzibur V'HaYochid. The Chatois that the Tzibur brings and that the Yochid brings. What are those? Eilehen Chatois HaTzibur, Seir Rashi Chadoshim, V'Shel Moy Adois. Why was it necessary for the Mishnah to say Eilehen Chatois HaTzibur? Couldn't the Mishnah just simply say Chatois HaTzibur V'HaYochid? So Rashi explained that the reason why we introduce these words Eilehen Chatois HaTzibur, so that we should remember that we already in the previous Mishnah had a list of Chatois HaTzibur, but those were Chatois Pnimiyos. Those were the ones that you brought on Yom Kippur every year, and perhaps occasionally the Parhom Dem Shel Tzibur, the Parkoin HaMashiach, the Sira Avodis Chachov. So therefore our Mishnah tells us we're not talking about the Pnimiyos. Now we're talking about the normal Chatois Chitzonios, which are brought in the Azura, not brought Lefnim, and not brought Lefnai V'Lefnim. And therefore says the Mishnah, Chatois HaTzibur V'Yochid, Eilehen Chatois HaTzibur, if you're wondering what's left once we discussed the Par Helm Dov Shel Tzibur, and the Par which you bring on Yom Kippur, so what other Chatois Tzibur are there? Oh, Seir Rosh Chodesh, every Rosh Chodesh, we bring a carbon soyer. V'shol Mayadois. And of course, every single Yontif. You keep on hearing always at the laning of the Maftir in every single Yontif, either Seir Chatos Echot or Seir Izim Echot Chatos. Those are the typical Chatois HaTzibur. How come we don't mention in our Mishnah the Seir Shabbos? And the answer is because
it's not a Chatos.
No, because in Shabbos you don't bring any Seir. You don't bring a Chatos. You only bring Oilois. In addition to the regular oilois, you bring two more oilois on Shabbos, but you don't bring any chatois, not a par, not a sword, and not anything else. Okay, so that takes care of the chatzis at tzibur. Yochid, of course, we know what a yochid is, that the kibbutz ira, and also includes a soir of the nasi, that they bring it like regular yichidim, they don't bring a kibbutz ira, but they bring a soir which is all bachutz, it's not bifnim. So what's the din by these chatis atzibur v'yochid? Shchitos and bat tzofayin. Shchitos and tzofayin tzai because it's, after all, part of the set of the kachi kudishim, which are all bat tzofayin. V'kibul dom and mechli sharis bat tzofayin. And the makabul dam also stands bat tzofayin. He cannot stand on the dorim side and extend himself and bend over the line of demarcation. No, he's got to be standing there in the tzofen side, the domantoin arba matonois al arba kronois, as opposed to most korbanos which are shtaim shein arba down below, underneath or beneath the chutzah sikra. Here, as we'll see in the Mishnah in a moment, the kohen has to go to the top, not all the way to the top, but close to the top of the mizbeach, and you place four matonis on the four kronois, meaning on the top of the mizbeach you have four blocks on the four corners. Each block is one by one by one. It's a cube. And the kohen has to go to all those four, as we'll see in the Mishnah. Ketzad, how do you do the avoid? All of our kevish. The kohen starts off going up the kevish, that's the ram, which is on the doroim, the southern side of the Mizbeach. And then when he gets towards the top, not all the way to the top, but towards the top, ufonel asoyvev. Then there's a smaller little ramp which attaches to that larger ramp and attaches to this soyvev. Soyvev is a ledge which extends around the Mizbeach, which is wide enough, it's an amma wide, that you're able to go and walk on that soyvev, and you can go around the whole Mizbeach. How far is that soyvev from the ground? It is 6 ammas from the ground, and therefore from where the kohen is standing on the soyvev to the top of the Mizbeach, he has another 3 ammas, because the Mizbeach is 9 ammas tall from the floor up to the top of the Mizbeach. And then the kronois are 1 amma even taller than that, because they protrude and extend a little bit higher. So if you started from the Ritzba all the way to the top of the Keren, it will be 10 ammas altogether. But from the Sovev to the top of the Mizbeach, not to the top of the kronois, to the bottom of the kronois, top of the Mizbeach is 3 ammas. He's walking around on that Sovev. And what does he do now? Uboloi, the first of the four corners that he's going to get to, the first of the four kronos, he's going to get to the Keren, Droimis Mizrachis. Since you're coming up from the southern side, and on your right-hand side is the Mizrachband, that's the Mizrach, where you see that wall, as a person enters into the Azara, he sees the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach. So that first corner is going to be the Keren Dromis Mizrachis. Then he continues further on the Soyuz, he reaches the Mizrachis Tzafainis, that's the northeastern. Then he continues to his left, which we're going to say in a moment is to his right. It's Tzafainis Marovis, that's the northwestern corner. And then Marovis Roimis, then you get to the southwestern corner, and therefore you've now covered all the four corners. Exactly how does he apply the blood to those all four corners, we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Amisha just tells us the directions. And then Shiur Yadam. Now, after he's applied the dam, you still have dam left in the Mizrak, so that's Shirayim. Hoyeshoifech al Yesoi Droimis. You'll recall that in the previous Mishnah, when we learned about the Shiur Yadam, when the Kohen was coming out of the Panimi, out of the Heichal, out of the Ulam, going down the steps towards the Azara, the first wall that he hit in terms of the Mizbeach was the Yesoid Marovis. Here, he went and poured it out on Yesoid Droimis. Why? We'll discuss that in the Gemara shortly. And now when you eat from the carbon, who eats from the carbon? Only the Kehanim, and even from the Kehanim, only the male Kehanim. V'necholim lefnim and akloim, they eat it within the Kloim. Kloim is a little bit of a historical note, because in the times of the Beis Midrash, there were no Kloim. However, if you go to Parshios Vayakal Pekudei, you'll see over there that the Chotzer did not have walls, but rather they had Kloim that went around, curtains of a sense, and that was the old Azora, if you will, before the Beis Midrash was built. So therefore the Zichrei Kohuna eat these Karbanos, meaning these Karbanos Chatzas. Since these Karbanos Chatzas are Kachi Kudishim, they're not Kodshim Kalim, so the Zichrei Kohuna can eat it, the Balim cannot eat it, women cannot eat it, only Zichrei Kohuna, they eat it within that Azora portion, which we call Gvnim and HaKloim. They can eat it B'chol Machel. B'chol Machel doesn't mean that they can go eat it together with rolls, or eat it together
with side dishes.
That's what I would have thought, that's what it sounds like. B'chol Machel, you eat it with pickles, and you eat it with sauerkraut, or coleslaw. No. B'chol Machel means that you can go and cook it any way you want. Rashi points out that when it comes to Korban Pesach, it's Einan Nechel Eletzli. It's got to be Dafka roasted. Here, you can boil it, you can fry it, you can broil it, you can roast it, whatever, any way you want. You can put it on a grill, put it into a microwave, whatever you like in terms
of... condiments?
Condiments. Our Gemara doesn't discuss it. Elsewhere, the Gemara says it, since it says in the Pasuk that the Kehanim eat it L'moshcha, which Gemara means L'gdula, you are allowed to add other condiments together with it. But that's not the definition of the word B'chol Machel. B'chol Machel really is referring to the mode of preparation of the meat. You can prepare it any way you wish. And how long can you eat it? L'yayim v'layla. Like a typical carbon, not like a shlomim. Typical layla, typical carbon, you can eat it that day. And you can eat it min ha-toira the entire night. However, says our Mishnah, and this is reminiscent of the first Mishnah in Chas and Mislech Brachos, where it says, although you can go and lay in Krishma, Kol HaLayla, the Chachamim said, you know what, let's make a Geder, L'Harchika, Odom in Aveira, go and say Krishma by Chatzos, so that you shouldn't forget, Ma'asim Ram Gamliel, when the children came from
you. Exactly.
Okay, but getting back to our Gemara, here we're talking about the people who are eating the Karbanos, Minatar, you can eat it until the morning, till Leisa Shachar. Once again, Laharchi Kodem Aveira, the Chum said, only eat it until Chatzos. Anyway, so this is kind of a broad brush, what happened with the Chatzos at Tzibur Vayochid, how you did these rikos, how you ate the food, where you ate the food, and now the Gemara goes into greater detail.
Just in terms of going up, he's going up the Kevis.
Kevish.
Right.
And so he goes first to this would be the southeastern corner.
Right. But he wouldn't go in the southeastern
corner. Southeastern.
Yeah.
You got it wrong.
It's southeastern, but you can't point to this and say southeastern.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I didn't see the
thing. It's okay, no problem. I still look at it. Okay. Just don't be nervous. You're going up the ramp.
Yeah.
And then you want to go around this side, which
right.
is a ledge.
Right.
But you don't want to have to jump over things and then chas v'shalom fall right. down. So extending from the ramp, there was a small ramp
alike. Right, right.
And he walked on that, and then you got to the Seidev. So this ramp was connected to the Seidev with a small little ramp.
An off ramp.
Okay. An off ramp. An off ramp.
And that's okay. Where the Shvicha of this
yeah,
guy
Yeah, Shvicha Shreim, after he went all the way around, on this small little Yesoidel, which is left here, that's where he poured the blood.
That's the southwest.
That is going to be the southwest corner, correct. And how big was that whole southwest corner?
One by one.
One amma of Yesoid on the southern wall. On the western wall, you had a full Yesoid. But when you got to the southern wall, you only got Abyssala.
Where is the Kotel Maravi? Is it?
Kotel Maravi is on in this next video here.
No,
I have no idea where the Kotel Maravi is.
Bill, I'll show you. The Holy Land Hotel is there.
Is the western wall?
It's behind the Beis Hamikdash.
Okay, backwards.
Yes. Okay. Right. That's why you go in the tunnel, you can see there's a place, there's a shul there which they've built opposite the Kotel below, which I believe is opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the tunnels, when you're by the Kotel Rav, you're behind the Beis Hamikdash. The whole entrance to the Beis Hamikdash was on the other side of the wall, way in front of you.
Lion's Gate.
I'm not sure.
Okay, Mitchum will soon be back in Yerushalayim, and we'll see it, and we'll walk on it, and we'll be get the Paraduma water. We'll be able to.
So when he went up on the Soviet, he had reached up then to put on the. He had a.
You're already trying to steal my thunder. Okay. That's going to be the next Gemara now. How do they do it? Okay, so.
You mean to do it? Yes.
Hold off. Stealing my lines.
Okay.
Spoiler
alert.
Good. So, Zokti Mara, all of that was fascinating that we said that he went up the Kevesh and he got to that small little ramp, and then from that off ramp, on ramp, he went on to the Soivev. But how did he do the Nesinus Hadam on the Kronos? Hey, Chiyovid, how did that happen? So, we start off with the Machloikis Amayroil, and as you'll soon see, we're going to graduate to a Machloikis Tanoim. So, hey, Chiyovid, how did you do the Nesinus Hadam? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Luz, Chad Omer Nuisen, Amma Eilach, Vi Amma Eilach, Vachad Omer Mechate, Vi Yoyre Kneged, Chudoy Shul Karen. What is this all about? So, I'm going to go already tell you a little bit of what the Gemara is going to explain shortly, so that hopefully it fits in very nicely. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that this is the top of the Mizbeach. My good friend, this is the top of the Mizbeach.
Yeah.
On each one of the four corners, there's a little keren. And that keren goes up one amma, extends an amma in all directions, right? So it's a cubic amma. You have one over here, one over here, one over here, and one over here. Now, when you look in the Torah, it says that you have to put the blood on the karnos hamizbeach. So, karnos somewhere on the karnos. Yeah, that's the poshup shot. But we'll see in the Gemara that it's not so simple. It's going to be a machloikis between Rebbe and Reb Lozer bi Reb Shimon. Well, what do you mean? So it says the Gemara that it's only Reb Lozer Reb Shimon that says that the actual blood goes on the actual keren. He doesn't even specify where on the keren, but it's got to be, you have to go and touch each one of the four keren. You got to this keren, put blood on, this keren, all four keren. However, we'll see in the Gemara shortly that Rebbe disagrees. How does he disagree? He says it doesn't have to be on the keren itself, but rather it has to be on the wall of the mizbeach, anywhere from the keren down till the chutasikra. Chutasikra, of course, is below where the kohen is standing on the soiviv, because the soiviv is at the 6 amma level. Chutasikra is exactly halfway, so it's on the 5 amma levels. It's really...
It's got to be tall.
So that's what we're going to get to in a moment. Therefore, the Chutasikra is one amma below where he is standing. According to Rebbe, all you have to do is apply the blood parallel and corresponding to where the keren is. Since the keren happens to be here, you cannot put the blood on the Mizbeach down here, because that doesn't correspond to where the keren is. But you don't have to put on the keren. You can continue down from the keren all the way down to where the kohen is standing, and therefore that's why the kohen does not have to be a giant. He can just be normal, regular height, and put the blood corresponding on the mizbeach, corresponding and parallel to where the keren is up above. But now, below the Keren, where he is, when I say the Keren, means that Keren, the horn on top. Now going down, your two or three Amis down below, where there does he put the blood? And that's going to be a machloikis between the Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. One man, the Umrah, holds that you have to go and do keneged chudai shel keren, which means on the edge, and therefore you can do it. Yes, you can do it anywhere from the top of the keren, going down below, two, three, four, up to five amas, because you can do it until the chuta sikra. Then, of course, the kohen would have to bend over and put it below him, below the saiviv, because the chuta sikra is one ama below. But just assuming that he's doing it from where he is standing, so he is standing on the sixth ama, he can go up all the way up till four amas, three amas of the mizbeach, which still is protruding from where he is standing, and then the protruding keren on top of the mizbeach, and then just down the edge, he puts the blood anywhere there. The other man, the Yomah, says, that's taka, a wonderful thing, but you do not have to put it down the edge. You can go and put it an amma to the right, or an amma to the left, but not more than an amma. And therefore, it would again be parallel to the keren on top, which is an amma in one direction, an amma in another direction. But if you want to go and put the dam beyond that, 1.5 amas, 2 amas, no, that's no good. No. It's got to be on the mizbeach. You can put it on the keren, yes. But when you're putting it on the mizbeach, it has to be parallel to the keren on top. Once again, you can put it down 2, 3, 4 amas to where the kohen is standing, even to the chuta sikra. And if you want to put the blood on the right or on the left, you know, no problem. Sure, that's fine. But not more than an amma away from the edge of the keren. That's how the Gemara is going to explain it. And you'll see in Mishnah as we go through it. I'm sure the people will have questions, but at least that seems to be the explanation of the Gemara. One says you put the blood here on the right, and you put the blood on the left. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. Both, poshit, you only have to put it on one of the two, either to the right or to the left of the keren where you are standing. And he does this four times. In other words, you first go to the southeastern corner, and then you go to the northeastern corner. Each time when you go to that corner, you see the keren on top. Beautiful, very nice. If you can reach it, you want to put the blood on that. Sure, that's great. But if you don't want to, says this man the Omar, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, what you can do is, below the keren, on the Mizbeach itself. We're on the Mizbeach itself. The first man the Omar says, Amma Eilach, up to a right, up to one Amma to the right, one Amma to the left, underneath the keren. No. What you're supposed to do is on the edge of the keren, and then continuing down the next two, three amas below that, on that edge, you can go and smear the blood. Not you can, that's where you should go and smear the blood, on that chudash keren. And now the Gemara, so this was the machlekes ha-meirah, b'b'echer blood. Ali with Reb Lozer, Reb Shimon, who of course is a Tana, the son of Reb Shimon Vayichoy, the Omer, he atzma ein enasis el begufo shel keren, he said, no, don't extend it beyond the keren. You have to put the blood on the keren. And you're right, that would mean that the coin has to be relatively tall to reach that, because from his feet on the side of it, till the keren is already 3 amas, and if an amas is, let's say, 2 feet, you're already talking about 6 feet. But of course, he doesn't have to have his hair all the way to there. He can go and have his arm extending. He can just pick his arm up. That gives you already another amma. So that makes life a little bit easier. So couldn't you rub down the shimon? You have to do it on the gufa shel keren, the keren itself. Everybody agrees the way you're supposed to do it is you do it on the chudoy shel keren, on the edge. The question is, keep ligin, where is the machloikis alibe the Rebbe? Rebbe that holds that you don't have to go
precisely.
Oh, okay.
Rebbe is like
Rebbe. No, 100%, yeah. If you don't mind, let's take a look at the Rashi. I think I misspoke over here. First wide line of the Rashi down below. I'll leave it there below. The common mice book time, we're going to have the machlekes shortly in a brisa. He atzma kloyme kol atzma v'ikr mitzvasa enoi el hasham on the keren, not on the mizbeach, on the keren. According to that, kuli hamo lepligi deloi ba'inan chuda, you do not need the chuda shel keren. All you have to have is, what is the keren? That's amma al amma baroyim amma hanosin baroyishem mizbeach b'chol zaviv v'zaviv b'chol mokim shibah kori keren. As long as you can reach that keren on top, to the right, to the left, on top, and the bottom, if you can reach that keren, put on the blood, you're done, you're yoitze according to the blood. It does not need to be keneged chuda anywhere but gufish okay. So that makes life much simpler. Keep back to the Gemara. Where is the machlokes? Leave it to the Rebbe. Mar sava ama eilach bi ama eilach keneged kerenu. You put it on, you don't have to do it on the keren itself. You can do it parallel, beneath the keren, to the right or to the left, but up to one ama. No, you don't have any leeway up to the right and to the left, and ama. No. It's got to be on the edge, going straight down from where the keren begins all the way. You don't have to put the blood on the keren. You can put it on the mizbeach below the keren. But wherever you do it, it's got to be on the edge, and has to be, of course, lamala michuta sikra, so the kohen can, if you will, he has a certain degree of leeway where he puts the blood. So according to the first man, the yamar, right and left of the keren, below the keren, corresponding up to an ama in either direction, and according to the other man, the yamar has to be keneged chuda on the edge. Yes?
When a kohen applies the blood to the edge, mm-hmm. doesn't this make this a shtaim shein arba type thing? Because the blood then now goes, travels on both sides.
Okay.
So... Is it kind of like a shtaim shein arba? I mean, is it when you put out blood on the, when you put a liquid, a thick liquid on the edge of some sharp stone built mm-hmm. thing, the blood is going to travel on both sides?
Okay, no problem.
That's not an issue.
It does not seem to be a consideration.
Okay,
anymore.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Third wide line, Freiti Mar Meisve. You're telling me there's a machlokes am meiroim, whether it's connected chudish okern or even amav eilach ama eilach. Freiti Mar. Now, I know it sounds like we're repeating the Mishnah, because we start off like the Mishnah. However, you'll see that we're actually learning a Braith. Nice way. Chatzas atziba vayochid, keitzad, keitzad matan dorma. Hoy olu lekevesh, like we have in the Mishnah, you go up that ramp. Ubanu lesoiv, and then he turns to the right, towards the soiv. And he goes over that small little ramp that connects the off-ramp, as you called it, or the on-ramp, because he wants to get on, he doesn't want to get off. Anyway, ufanu lesoiv, he goes to the soiv, ubanu lekevesh, droimis mizrochis. Ah, and now the Braisa says the Torah bets boy hayemonis. You put in your etzba yemonis, even though the Torah doesn't say yemonis. It says etzba. We learn etzba from mitzoyra. Just like mitzoyra, it's always yemonis. Here too, it's yemin. Which is the yemin? Hayemonis shebi yemin. This is the rightmost of the right hand. Now, what does that mean? The most right. It really depends on how you look at your hand. If you're looking at your hand with the back of your hand towards you, then the most right is the pinky. However, if you go and look at the palm of the hand, then the most right is the thumb, but we're talking about the finger other than the thumb. The thumb would be the boyhen, and here we're talking about an etzba. And therefore we're talking about the second finger. Some people call it the index finger, some people call it the pointer, but it's the second finger, the one that's right next to the thumb. That's the one that you go and toivul be'etzboy in the dam, in adam shebe mizrak. How do you go and now, how do the fingers travel? I might have thought, you know, just clench your fingers, you clench your palm, your hand, and just have the one pointer finger sticking out, and you should, no. The way you're supposed to do it is, you have the goidl milmala, in other words, have your thumb all the way high, have the pinky, the one that's down below, and go down the edge of the Mizbeach with your second finger. In other words, don't do it this way, but do it this way, where the goydel is towards the top, where the pinky is towards the bottom, and then you shmir with your second finger down the keren, going melmala lemata. The choyme begoydloi, melmala, the goydloi, of course, is the thumb, that's the one that's higher, that's way katana, melmata, that's the pinky all the way in the bottom, and in the middle, not really in the middle, but the second one is the pointer that you're using. The reason why the Mishnah uses the term mechata v'yoyred, says Rashi, because the Pasuk says that the kohen who's putting the dam on the mizbeach, on the keren, he's called a kohen a mechata oiso yoychlena. The kohen, that's the one that's officiating, he will eat the carbon together with the other kohanim of that base af. So that's why the Mishnah borrows the Torah loshen a mechata v'yoyred, keneged chudish keren, on that edge, until all the blood that was on that etzba has been used, there's nothing left. You don't have to toil your finger a second time. You just go use that first immersion of the finger in the dam. Whatever dam is on that finger, will go as far as it goes, and when it's done, and you're finished with that keren, and you move on to the next keren. So now, what's the Moritz Kashi? You want to ask Meisve? Moritz Kashi is, since we had two man the Amr, and one man the Amr said, it's can I get Chudish or keren? The other man the Amr said, no, he said, Amma Eilach, the Amma Eilach. Didn't sound like that from our Braise here. Every more hachi kamer mitzvah b'chuda. That man the Amr holds that lechat chila. I also agree. The best thing is to do it on the edge. Yes. However, iovet ama elach v'ama elach. If you put on this or that, less the ball. This is och good. So even though we started off the gemara hechi iovet chad ama nois and ama elach, he means as a backup option. The ideal option is to do the keneged chudesh or keren maskim. However, if you do it to right or left, it's och good, not a problem. So now we've mentioned this Rebbe and Rebbe, Reb Shimon. Who are these people? My Rebbe, Reb Shimon, the son of Lund and Abraisa. Dom al yoinim means the dam that is being applied above the chut ha-sikra of the Mizbeach. We're, of course, focusing primarily on the chattas behema, but there's also the Ola Sa'of, which is also the ma'am chut ha-sikra, but that is not the discussion for today. So what happens? Dom al yoinim niton mechut ha-sikra l'mala. That's the Poshit Ivra. Dom al Yoin means above the Chutzah Sikra. The Dom al Tachtoin means below the Chutzah Sikra. Fine. The blood of Shimon Oimer, the Medva Mamur of Oyla Sa'oif. When you're talking about Oyla Sa'oif, make sure that it's Lamal and Chutzah Sikra. Absolutely.
Chutzah Sikra was then was five, almost up.
You obviously couldn't do it from the floor. Right. You had to go above the Sa'ivit, presumably, unless maybe you're. If you're a giant, maybe you can do it from the floor. So you'd have to do it from the side, and then spritz it against the wall, which would only a drop would come out anyway.
Wall, so he had to go up the cavern.
We'll get to it. When you're talking about he had to go and throw the crop all the way from one side to the other side, and he had to be a good pitcher, and it'd be over 28 amas, 30 amas. Yeah, okay, but it's not for today. Anyway, Avol B'chatzis Behema. That's not enough just to be lamala or lamata michuta sikra. No. He answered Nasel al Gufishal Keren. You got all the way to the top, the Gufishal Keren. That, of course, was the Lord Reb Shimon that we had earlier. He answered Nasel Gufishal Keren. So it's not just lamala michuta sikra. That is lamala michuta sikra, but much more lamala michuta sikra. My time with the Rebbe, why does Rebbe hold that you do not have to do it on the Chutzah Sikra itself? But I'm sorry, not on the Keren itself, but you can put it parallel to and below the Keren all the way down to the Chutzah Sikra. My time with the Rebbe, Yechsev said, the Pasuk, Baharel Arba Amos, Mihaharel Ulamala. It says that it was Arba Amos. Now, the definition of Harel in this context means the Mizbech. So for Frank Timur, Mizbeach Arba Amos, who the Havi? It was only four Amos tall. After all, the Mizbeach was much, much larger. In the times of the second base of Midrash, it was 28 by 28 at its smallest. All the way in the bottom was 32 by 32, and then above that was 30 by 30. And then you got all the way 28 to 28 because you had the Soyvev. So, okay, anyway, that's not for today. Next, when we get to Mesechtas Midrash, we're going to talk about those things in greater detail. But in the meantime, the point is, the Mizbeach was from the ground to the top. It was 9 Amos tall. And together with the Kronos, it was 10 Amos tall. So what is this Arba Amos Udiyavi? Umbavada Barahava Umokim Kronos Arba. What the Pasuk means over here is that the Mokim Kronos on the top of the Mizbeach that occupied 4 Amos. Freyti Mora, Mokim Kronos Dalet Havia. You're telling me that the Mokim Kronos occupied 4 Amos. Really, on each side, it only occupied 2 Amos. What do you mean? Because each Keren was jutting into each side of the Keren by 1 Amma. And if you go in there for, let's say, just take one of the walls, the eastern wall. So the easternmost Keren went on the eastern wall for, traveled on the eastern wall for 1 Amma. And now when you get to the northeastern part, so you have also the next Keren, and that's going, if you will, southward from north to south, or from south to north, on the eastern side, also 1 Amma. So each side is only 2 Amma. So what are you telling me? That it's 4 Amma. What I mean to say is the Rishus of the Keren. Now what does it mean, the Rishus of the Keren? So Rashi explains, the Rishus of the Keren means that you go from the Keren downwards another 3 Amma, and in all of those 4 Amma altogether, you can go and apply the blood.
You take it down to the Sovet.
Down to the Sovet.
So one guy measures from the Sovet up, and the other one measures from the Keren down.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking the same thing.
The same thing. So if you look at the Rashi is about 8 lines from the bottom. Middle of the line, El al korcha chochi kamekro, Rishus Kronis Arve Kaloimar, Shame Rishus Hakaronois, maybe Shom, Rishus Hakaronois Tefesis Lamatim Hen. When you're going below the Kronois, you're going Arba Amois, the Haina Ad Achut, meaning to Luchut Hasikra, the Kulei Havikaren. That's how Rebbe's understanding the Pasuk when it says Arba Kronis means that each Karen has a height of 4 Amois. What's the height of the 4 Amos? That starting from beneath the Keren, going Lamata Mehem, go 4 more Amos on the Mizbeach, so together with the Keren you have 5 altogether, which is exactly what the Chut HaSikra is, half, that's the halfway line. Ah, so that's what the Braisa meant when it says that the Dom HaLioinim are Nitanim Michut HaSikra Ulamala. Rebbe says you start from the Chut HaSikra and you go up, altogether a total of 5 Amos. The 4 Amos of HaHarel, that's the 4 amos above the Sodom, and together with the Karen, you have 5 altogether. Reb Lod Reb Shimon said, no. By Ulis Of, think about the Chot HaSikra. By the Chatzis Behema, you got to start thinking about the Kronis, which are all the way on top. Don't think about the Chot HaSikra. You got to... Oh, says Rabbi, no, I disagree with you. Really, the Chot HaSikra is the starting point, because anywhere from the Chot HaSikra up till the Karen, and the HaKaren Bechlal, you can go and put the Dam anywhere corresponding to the Karen. Where is that corresponding? Well, that's really the Machlekes HaMeiraim. Does it have to be on the edge, starting from the Chut HaSikra up to the Karen? Or can you put it even to the right and to the left, up to 1 Amma? And that was the Machlekes that we had at the outset, right after we started the Mishnah, right after the Gemara.
It seems very dangerous for a coin to be standing on a 1 Amma ledge,
mm-hmm,
and to... You know, taking the blood out, it's a danger, a coin's going to fall over. It's actually pretty hazardous.
Yeah,
and it's a 12-foot drop to, from this place, six amas. So it's roughly 12 feet. It's like, you know, falling from the second story of a brownstone.
Okay, Hanum's reasoning. They were diligent, they had alacrity. Hopefully they were not obese.
They had insurance.
You didn't have a problem. Sorry?
They had insurance.
They did or didn't?
You mean they had netting?
Netting?
No.
There was a netting, a mesh netting on the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishkan. But that wasn't the mesh around him. It was the mesh that was part of the structure of the Mizbeach itself.
And they also have the risk of burning wood falling on top of them.
On the top of
the embers. Right, popping off the tapuach.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so here the Kahana, that's why they went to school for 5 years. They started at the age of 25, they went to Kohen school for all the avoiders, and then at the age of 30 they graduated and they actually started doing the avoiders. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so we've now concluded where you put the blood on the Karen itself, or parallel to the Karen below it, either on the edge or to the right or to the left. Tanan also, we have another Mishnah. This Mishnah, I believe, himself says, Push state, the Mishnah, Chutchul Sikra, Choygir B'Emtza. Choygir B'Emtza means like a chagoyra, is like a belt. It's a belt around the entire Mizbech, a chutchul sikra, such a red line. The upper bloods and the lower bloods. 99% of all the kabbalists were the lower. However, the chattas behema and the oyvah sa'oyv, that was lamal, like we said before. Break the woman on immediately. Where do you take this from? Amr Bacham, Bar Rav Ktinish, Nemet says the Pasik. And this is what we're talking about, the netting and the mesh. Voitzah reshes ad chatziyah mizbeach. This is talking about the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu in the times of the Mishkan. And this reshes means that it was like a netting, very pretty, very nice. And it went until chatziyah mizbeach. Why did the Torah need episode chatziyah mizbeach? Torah nos mechitza, lahav do beidom al yoinim, ledom datach toinim, that some kabbonis are below and some kabbonis are above. Now the Shiori Adam, you have to go and pour out on the Yisoid. And when we learned the Mishnah, we said you need to pour it out on that little Yisoid of the Droimi, of the southern wall. Why is it a little Yisoid? Because the Yisoid didn't go the entire wall. It only went one little Amma, starting from the Ma'arav wall, in the direction towards the Mizrach wall. The Yisoid stopped after one Amma. If you're wondering, why were they cheapskates? Why didn't they just continue the Yisoid on all four sides? Mitchum, we're going to get to that at the end of the Amid Beis, having to do with, as many called it, Ashtikal Agaritza, between Binyamin and Yehuda, we'll see it shortly. Anyway, Tana Rabban said in the Brayta, Yisoid Mizbach, Yisoid Hamizbeach, Ze Yisoid Droimi. What we're referring to, like we said in the Mishnah, is on that southern Yisoid. Ata Oim Ze Yisoid Droimi, Ein El Yisoid Ma'arovi. Maybe it should be on the Ma'arov side. Filamin Sosim Mena Mefurish. And here the Torah doesn't tell us where you're supposed to go and put it on which Yisoid. So let's learn it from the Mefurish, meaning from those Pinimim, those Chatois Pinimioids, that when you leave the Ulam and the Heichel, you go down the steps, you go and put it immediately on the Marav wall, Marav Yisoid. So why don't you say over here, since the Torah doesn't say, here too, put it on the Marav Yisoid. Now, there it also doesn't say clearly that we're talking about the Marav Yisoid, but it does say that you put it in the Yisoid, Mizbach Oila, Asher Pesach Oil Moed, which faces the Oil Moed, which means faces the Ulam and the Heichel. Which one faces it? The Marav wall. Okay, so there it says Befedish. Here it doesn't say Befedish, which you say them is back, so also to put on the Marvel in the form of like a Mamatzino, since I don't know. And there the Torah specifies, probably here too, the same thing. The Gemara Amris Ilamid Yeridosim and Akevish Li Yitziosim and Ahechel. What the Gemara says is, what you said now makes sense. Learn the Sosim and Amafurish. But don't learn Sosim and Amafurish, just like by the Chatois HaPnimiyos, you put it on the Yisoid HaMizbeach HaMaravi, learn from it that you put it on the closest one. If you remember, Ariel said so beautifully yesterday, Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvois. When you're able to do a mitzvah, do it. Don't wait for later. Don't wait for around the corner. Do it now. And therefore, Yilamid Yirdosim Min HaKevesh, Yitzosim Min HaHechel, when you're going down finally from the last part of the Soviet, now you're onto the Kevesh, onto the ramp, and you're walking down. As soon as you finish walking down the Kevesh, you are on the Dorim side of the Mizbeach. The closest Yisoid to you is on that Dorim side. And therefore, what do you do now? On that Dorim side, you have that little Amal of that Yisoid. You pour it out over there. Because if you're going to go further to the Maravi, you have to walk the extra Amal. Why should you go the extra length? Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos. As soon as you come down, put it immediately on that first Yisoid. Just like when you come out of the Heichel. Why don't you go from the Heichel, go to the Droimi, go to the Tzvoimi? Because the one that's right in front of you is the one, like the Torah says, El Pesach and Mai. So you learn one from the other. Yilam Yirosim and Kevish, Yitzosim and Heichel, Mai Yitzosim and Heichel, Besamachloi, the closest wall. Yitzosim and Hakevish, Besamachloi, the closest wall, meaning the closest Yisoid. Tanya, Reb Yishmol Oimer, Ze Veze Yisoid Ma'arovi. Reb Shimon Ben Yechoi Oimer, Ze Veze Yisoid Droimi. Meaning that although in our Mishnah, the two Mishnahs, we have a distinction between the Chatois Pinimiyos, where you pour out the Shiraim on the Yisoid Hamarovim, and our Mishnah by the Chatois Achitzoinoyos, we said that you pour it out on the Yisoid Droimi, then in fact this is not unanimous. There's a Machloikis Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel says both of them means both the Chatois HaPnimiyos and the Chatois HaChitzoinos. You place it on the Yisoid Maravi, which was really the half a minute more, Yilam Yitzosim and Mefurish. Rabbi Shimon Yechoi says you put Zeh V'Zeh Yisoid Droimi on the southern. Why would that be?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Yimoris Kasha. Bishlam Landiyam Yisoid Maravi, Kosover, Yilamid, Yilma Yitzosim and Mefurish. That what just the Mefurish says, El Pesach Oil Moyeh. So the first wall that you see when you come out of the Pesach Oil Moed, out of the Ulam, is that Maravi,
right.
And you learn Sosim and Afurish, you also do Maravi, so then that's very understandable. Elamani Yami say, Droimi, my time, why would you put in the Droimi? Every more Amravasi, because of Raitana, Kule Mizbeach, Bitzafain Koi, or Lishnachrina, Kule Pesach, Bidorim Koi. Both Terutzim are basically the same. What the Gemara means to say is that without our Gemara, we normally think of the Mizbeach being smack in the middle of the Azar. And so therefore, when you come out of the Ulam, all you see in front of you is this long, long wall, which is 28 Amos long, from one end to the other end, and that's the Maravi right in front of you. However, these two Mandi Amrim hold, no, that the Mizbeach was not smack in the middle, push the Mizbeach towards the Tzofen wall. Where does it end? Yeah. Either it ends right before the doors of the Ulam, which was in front of the Heichel, were 10 Amis wide. So one Mandiyama holds that the Mizbeach ended where that first door opened. The doors that opened, they opened like into a large hall or a large shul. It wasn't one door, you had two doors that opened the middle, right? And you had to have a spigot to go and close it, to a spigot, whatever, that you go
spigot.
And... Spin it, yeah, wherever you do it.
A pivot.
Spigot is when you have that you had on the dozen.
On the kiyor.
Good. Anyway, so the point of all of this is, so one man, the Yomer, holds that the Mizbeach, the Dorim side of the Mizbeach, ended where the beginning of your door started. So when you opened up the two doors of the Heichel or the Ulam, and you are walking out on the left hand side of the two doors, what you see immediately in front of you is that one Amma of the Yisoid Droimius straight ahead. You want to get to Yisoid Maravi, then you have to keep on walking on the left hand side until you get to the top, to the front. But in the meantime, that's straight ahead. Or the other pshat is, you have the two pictures in the article. The other pshat is that in fact the Mizbeach continued for five Amos altogether, so that it was in the middle of the two doors. So when you open up the two doors, if you went through the right door coming out of the Ulam, you didn't see anything. If you went out the left, then you saw the last five Amos of the Koisel Maravi, but you also saw that first Amma of the Koisel Droimi. So that was straight ahead of you if you're going out smack in the middle. You open up both doors, you walk in smack in the middle. Oh, I see right in front of me that Droimi, and then to my left I see the other four Amis of the Marav site. Anyway, the point of all of this is, according to this man, the Amar, this is Taka, the one that you see. Instead of the Pesach Ol Moed being the western wall, it's really the southern wall. My Tamar Basi, because my Tana Kulei Mizbeach with Tzafen Koy. The whole Mizbeach was pushed off to Tzafen. Lishnachrin, the other Lashon is Kulei Pesach Bedarim Koy. The Ganze Pesach that was on the Darim side. In other words, you didn't see any part of the western wall of the Mizbeach when you came out to Pesach. The only thing that you saw was the Darim. So the difference between the two Pratim is where did the Mizbeach end? Did it end right before the doors started, or did it end in the middle of the doorway? So that if you're going out the right, you didn't see the Mizbeach. If you went out the left, the first Amma that you saw was the Koisel Drain. Okay.
So that's the guy who thinks the Mizbeach was in the north.
Right.
But we believe that it was on the right.
It's a machlokes. It's a machlokes.
Three-way machlokes. Is it all the way up front? Is it all the way back here? Is it in the middle?
Yeah, it's a machlokes. Okay. Mitchum, Mikarev, Yameinu, we'll all see the Mitchum with our own eyes, and we won't have any more machlokes. We'll know exactly where the Mizbeach begins and where it ends. So therefore, according to that Mandiyama, it makes a lot of sense that you don't put it on the Maravi, because in fact the closest one is the Yisoy Droimi, and now Lomeid HaSosim and HaMafurish, just like over there, it's Droimi, here we hit so Droimi. So therefore you have a three-way Machloikim.
It's actually even easier, because if everything's in the north,
yeah,
if the Homo Zbeach is in the north,
mm-hmm,
then both of them is Samachlo.
Exactly.
Right, so both would be Samachlo and Sosim and HaMafurish. So it's
beautiful. Excellent. Gevaldik. So that's bottom line, the machlokes here between Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, and Yochai. Now the Gemara tells us kind of a, if you will, a bit of a cute story.
Yes.
What does the Gemara say? Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, in the Besmedrish of Rabbi Shmuel and his Talmidim, they had a different girsa, or they had that Rabbi Shimon Yochai eventually changed his mind and came over to their side. In other words, back in the Gemara, Rabbi says, Tana Rabbi Shmuel says, it's Marov. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, it's a droimi. The Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel in his Besmedrish say, Rabbi Shimon Yochai either initially or subsequently came over to our side, and he also holds Yisoid Ma'aravi. So there's no Machloikis anymore. Baruch Hashem, everybody agrees, Yisoid Ma'aravi, Yisoid Ma'aravi. That's what they learned in that Besmedrish. You see, if the top Rashi, Tan Rabbi Shmuel, how you shoinin, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Zebize Yisoid Ma'aravi. Talmid Rabbi Yishmael, who you shoinin Mishnah, Shanishnis Bebeis Midrashite, Rabbi Shimon, the Zevaze Yisoid Maravi, Kereb Yishmael. In other words, back on the Yomid Aleph, we said, Rabbi Shmuel says, Zevaze Yisoid Maravi, Reb Shimon Yochai says, "Zev zeh yisoy drawing me." That's how we're learning here on the west side. However, in the Smedish of Rabbi Shmuel, the Talmidim said, "No, no, no, no." Reb Shimon Yochai learned just like us. Also, zeh zeh yisoy maravi like the Rebbe, Reb Yishmael. The Simonech, just in case you're walking down the street and someone says to you, "Who changed his mind to whom?" Was Rabbi Shmuel that changed his mind to Shimon Yochai? Shimon Yochai changed his mind to Rabbi Shmuel. The simonach, the simon, the mnemonic to remember it is Moshku Gavri Le Gavra. The multiple people schlepped the individual. Meaning, since the story is being told by the Talmidei Rabbi Yishmael, by definition,
Robert,
it's got to be at least two or more, right? You know, Miadra Mishnaim, at least the Talmidei Rabbi Yishmael. They said that Rabbi Shimon Yochai had come over to our side, so it's as if they schlepped him, so to speak, to their side. So that's the expression, Moshu Gavri the Gavri. See Rashi? Third line, Misimonech, Shleitachlev Agir Saloimer, Zev Zed Droim. Don't say that Rabbi Shimon Yochai convinced Rabbi Yishmael to come to his side. And now to change it to Droimi, no, no, no. Mashku Gavri Le Gavra, the Talmid Rabbi Yishmael, Shein Merubim. These are the many, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, whatever it was. Mashku, they slept over the Yachid, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, to their side. Lo Yimar Kidibri Rabban, that he holds like us. So it sounds like for the Gemara, they were able to persuade him to change his mind, or whatever. But ultimately, the Gemara concludes that Rabbi Shimon Yochai also agrees to Rabbi Yishmael that it was Zev Zeh Marovi and not Zev Zeh Droimi.
So they're really deciding on the location of the Mizbeach as much as they're deciding.
Right.
I mean, yeah. That's, yeah. It's the same. It's a fact pattern that they're arguing about. Where did the Mizbeach stand in the north-south track?
Although the Gemara doesn't go to that level of detail, but that would certainly make sense because since everybody agrees it's supposed to be the Samachlag, and everybody agrees in Mavir al Mitzvahs, so how would Shimba Yichoy agree that it has to be on the Droimi side? So it sounds like, I'm sorry, the Marovi side. It must be because he agrees that in fact it was not like the Gemara said at the bottom that the
Mizbeach was entirely in the Suffolk, so the Durham edge was
right,
the first thing you counted.
Rather, was in the middle. Right. So therefore, when you came out, you saw the Marav, and everybody agreed, "You're Marav, Marav, Marav."
Like in the speaker, so it wasn't pushed up, no, it was centered.
Yeah, especially if it was after it says a Chomer, it was saying, "No, Marav, Marav, Marav." Yeah, okay.
And the third sheet was all the way.
That's Rabbi, I think Rabbi Yehuda, he says all the way in the back that the dividing, the north-south line was the northern edge of the Mizbeach Tzafon. There's three, it's been a long time since I looked at this. Is it all the way back here, all the way up here, or smack in the middle?
Say like it's all the way
in the
Darum? Yeah, actually the good news is that we're going to get to Maseches Midos sooner or later, and they're going to have all of this spelled out in great detail in the
Yatushan.
And we go on to the next Mishnah. Until now we talked about the Chatois. Let's move on to the Oila. Oila Kodshi Kudishim. Shchitosa bat sofoin, the kibul doma bechli sharis bat sofoin. This sounds familiar, right? Shchit is on the sofoin side. It's kachi kudishim. The kabbalah has to be on the sofoin side. The doma toin shtei matoni shein arba. Oh, two corners, four. Yep. We'll soon see exactly how that works. The shtayim shein arba. Stay tuned, Amir Tzishem. Utuna hefshe benitu of a chol ishim. We already had this before as well. That the oila, the toyin, is a psukim in the toyin parshas vayikra. That when you bring the carbon oila, it says, "Venitach oisoilin tzochav." That you have to go and cut it into pieces. And by the carbon oil, you also remove the outside hide, the outside skin, because that was given to the Kohanim. Exactly. And it was not put on the Mizbeach. So therefore, the rest of the carbon oil, which you cut into slices, into pieces, you put it on top of the Mizbeach. And back in Masechtas Yuma, we had, we'll have it again in Midos, that they had 12 kehanim all together, that's the reason why they had to wash their hands simultaneously from the dud, right, from the 12 dudim that then cut in it, and everybody thought, oh, that's a great idea, the 12 faucets on this large kiyar. Good, why did you have 12 all together? This is the Mishnah Rechem Zos, that one of them took the head, and one took the right,
like
one took the left,
like
and the back.
Walked.
I'm sorry?
Like the animal walked, that's how they brought it up.
Good, and in addition to that, there were others that were bringing other additional parts, like for instance, the carbon mincha sasachim, so he had to bring the mincha. They had 12 kehem. Anyway, so vashteita in the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off for oila kodshi kudishim. Now notice when we started the Mishnah earlier today, we said chatois tziva yachid. We didn't say chatois tziva yachid kodshi kudishim. And we didn't say that in the previous Mishnah either. And now the question is, why over here do we say kodshi kudishim? why didn't we say Kachi Kudishim by the earlier Karbanah?
You know.
Huh?
You know.
No.
Great-granddaughter.
You had a great-granddaughter this morning?
Yeah.
Mazel tov! That's great news.
Thank you.
And it's grand news.
I had everything to do with it.
I'm sure.
We very rarely get a girl in the family.
Okay.
Three or four generations.
Well, that's,
you know,
really, I'm sure it's a fine addition to the family.
Yes. What's the question? We said it earlier. The Kachi is called cell phone. So isn't this mission we had earlier today a derivative of the first mission in the Perek?
That's how big she is already. That's a big brother. I see. I saw. Good. Okay. Show everybody.
Kiddush.
Mm-hmm. Already, he has a big brother shirt.
In the Mishnah, Nun Beis Amid Beis, Chatois Atziva Vayochid. It doesn't say Chatois Atziva Vayochid, Kachi Kudishim Hein. It just says, what do you do? Elohim Chatois Atziva, etc.
But the Chatois of the Atziva and the Yochid, those are derivative. There's like a subchapter of the earlier Chatois.
I'm saying there's also Kachi Kudishim.
It says Kachi Kudishim, Shlom Mitzafon, Kachi Kudishim. So now we're getting.
That Kachi Kedushim is going to all his vachim. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the vachim, Kachi Kedushim, colon. What's the dim of Kachi Kedushim? Shechosu Metzavim, period.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
Then the Mishnah starts going down to the
Parmesan
subcategory. Parmesan Kippurim, Metzavim. In fact, you remember we asked at the outset, why do we repeat Shechosu Metzavim since he said Parmesan Kippurim, Metzavim. Okay, anyway, that's the Panemia. Then we go to the Chitzonim. But then we don't refer to him as Kachi Kedushim anymore. Yes, uh-huh. Until now, Kachi Kudishim, and then we broke it down to
Panemia,
the umbrella, exactly, especially if it was raining. So you had it, the first you started off the Panemia, the Chitzonia, now we're on to Oila, then we're going to go on to Asham, etc. It doesn't say anywhere else this Lashon of Kachi Kudishim. So it's not my Kasha, it's the Gemara asset. Oila, my time, etoni, lay, Kachi Kudishim. Every month I'll tell you why. Meaning that in the Psukim of the Torah, both by the Karban Chatzis and the Karban Asham, Torah uses the expression Kodesh Kedoshim. He does not say that Lashon Legabe the Oila. If you're wondering where this Kodesh Kedoshim, he, where does that appear? Rashi quoted the Psukim back on Mem Tes Amid Beis. Rashi said in the last two lines of the Rashi, Gabe Chatzis Ksiv. Tishochid Hachatzis Kodesh Kedoshim Hu. And by the Asham it says, Zoyis Torah Asham Kodesh Kedoshim Hu. But when it comes to the oil of the Torah doesn't mention the word Kodesh Kedoshim, and therefore that's why our Mishnah tells us it was missing in the Chumash. I'm going to tell it to you now. You shouldn't have any doubts that this was also Kodesh Kedoshim, because there is no pasuk that specifies that Kodesh Kedoshim. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara, V'domatoin Shtei Matonis Shtaim Shehein Arba. Okay, now we have always learned Shtaim Shehein Arba means that you go to two diagonal corners of the Mizbeach,
mm-hmm.
You take the Mizrach, and the Kohen holds on to the Mizrach, and he throws the Dam in the Mizrach. He holds on to the Mizrach.
Right.
He throws the Dam at the edge, and by definition, you're going to throw it at the edge, as Barry explained earlier when you're doing the Keneged Chudash or Keren, but here we're not talking about just a drop of blood on the finger. Here we're talking about huge quantities,
mm-hmm.
5 or 10 or 20 gallons, may all have been thrown simultaneously. Half of them presumably going to go to the right wall, and mm-hmm. half of them going to go to the left wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do it diagonal, the other side, same thing is going to happen when you splash and you throw so much blood at one time. Something's going to splatter on one wall and the other wall, and as a result you're going to have soviv, you're going to have all four walls. That pshat is Shmuel's pshat. Rav respectfully disagrees. What Rav says is, the Shtaim Shen Arba means only two kronos,
uh-huh.
but you place blood on each one of the walls manually.
Uh-huh.
Not by going and throwing it and it splatters on both,
right.
but you have to go and put blood on right wall, and then on left wall, and then you go to the other side. So the Shtaim Shen Arba means you only go to two corners, but you effect four nesinois hadam on the four walls.
In the first case, the person could be off the wall.
Very good. You're really at the cutting edge today of your puns. And we're going to continue on. And the Mizbech's edge.
In honor of the new great-grandfather.
Yeah, in honor.
Right.
Hey, Chiyavit. Omer Rav, noisim v'choyzen noisim. You put on the right-hand side of the wall. So, if let's say the northeastern corner, you put on the north side, and you put on the east side. As opposed to when you get to the southwest, and you put it on
the
west side. Give up. Okay. Don't you want Hey, Chiyavit? That's Rav. Shmuel Omar. Matana achas kmin gamma noisin. Kmin gamma, Rashi says gamma, is similar to what we call a chaf sofit, or an endachaf, where the endachaf, which is in English, is similar to an L. So it's L-shaped, meaning throw it at the L-shape of the corner of the Mizbeach, where it goes in both directions. So if you wrote that in English, that would look like an L. In arithmetic, you'd call it a right-hand triangle.
Right angle.
Okay, so at the right angle, you throw it against that, and therefore it splatters on both sides, and that's the way we typically learn. Matona achas, not you two matonis on each one of the two corners, but just one ton achas, kimin gamba. You're throwing it at the right angle, noisin, and that's how you do it, fine. So Timor, this machloik is Rabbi Shmuel's getanoi. I would think all you need is one zrika altogether, just one zrika. And many of the kabbalists of Takir, there is only one zrika. Yeah. But it says by the carbon you got to do it. Saviv, what is it? Saviv. If you look at number one, it says Bishach. This is talking about the carbon of oila. Bishach is then a barkel of Hashem. V'kriv v'bnei harne kehanim es adam. Zorko es adam. Alam es biach. Saviv. Saviv means arum and arum around the mizbeach. So just one zrika is not going to do it, my friends. So zok tibor is saviv. Back to Gemara. Yochayaki fenu kechut. Maybe you have to go and draw like. It's like the chutzah sikra, you have to make such a line around it. Maybe that's what you have to do with the blood of the carbon oil as well.
Like walking around the whole mizbeach and you keep toveling your finger in the
blood. Exactly right. And then you'd have takas of it. That's what I would have thought. Tamalay mizarko. No, you don't go and go with your finger room and room, you just throw it. So, hey, Kate said, how do you go and reconcile these two ideas of the soviv and the zrika? Okay, it's a kimen gamma, like we just said. Shtei matona shein arba. You do two throws, one at one gamma, one right angle of one corner, and then the corresponding diagonal on the other. So therefore, two matonas will get two zrikos, which add up to four sides. That's how you get the sub. Reb Yishmael Oimer, nema kan tzaviv, nema lahalon tzaviv. Ma lahalon pisuk v'arba matonas. Rashi is mashma that he takes out the vav. Just pisuk arba matonas, afkan pisuk arba matonas. What does he mean by that? What he means to say is, Rabbi Shmuel is agreeing with Rav. That Rav says, Nishma tekin kimen gamma shtayim shein arba, but you have to in fact put it on the two corners, manually on all four sides. One side here, one side there, and then across the street, and the other side in the Zbeach, again, so one side, the other side.
You have to throw two more times, because he was one zrika only,
you know? So you'd have to do four zrikas altogether. But you're only doing four zrikos in two corners. So when we say shtayim shein arba, according to Shmuel, shtayim shein arba means you only do two zrikos and they splatter on all four walls. According to Rav, the shtayim shein arba means that you go to two corners of the mizbeach where you apply the matonis on all four walls. One to the right, one to the left. Now the diagonal, right? This was the mizbeach, and assuming that this is the northeastern corner and this is the southwestern corner, according to Shmuel, just give ashas, throw blood here, and it's going to go on both sides. You throw blood here, it's going to go on both sides. According to Rav, no, you got to go and apply or throw blood here, and then blood over here, and then you got to go over here, throw blood here, and then over here, so you have four altogether.
Okay? And lower half.
Right.
Yes, because the ola is below the chodesek, he's standing on the ground.
Definitely
on
below. That's the shmir approach.
Yeah, the shmir approach. Good. Anyway, Zokti Moravaiter, so therefore, Rishmol says, Nemr Kan Tzav V'Nem L'Halon. Now, where is that other Tzav that we're talking about? They were talking about similar to the kronois, meaning similar to the karm chatos. Grad, the Gemara goes and says, let's take a look at number two. Vayishchot, vayikach moishas hadom, vayiten al karnis ha-mizbeach, so he put it on the karnis ha-mizbeach, all the way in the top, sovet, that's body. Vayichatis ha-mizbeach, vazidom yotzak, vayisayin ha-mizbeach, vayikacheu lechaper olav. Ah, so he put it on the karnis ha-mizbeach, and he did it on the karnis ha-mizbeach, sovet. So what does that mean, sovet? I might have thought that means every one of the four kronos you have to do room at a room, you're surrounding the whole keren. No. That's not necessary. Malon pisuk arba matonis. What means pisuk arba matonis? Means that you make a hefsik in the matonis of the kronos by going from one keren to the next keren, to the third and to the fourth, and you have to do four matonis, one on each keren. Afkan here too, you have a pisuk arba matonis. Meaning, you go to the two corners, the diagonal corners, and you put one here, make a stop, a hefsik, go to the other side, make another, and here's the same thing. So that's the pisuk and arba matonis. So that's the way that Rav was learning. So there, that's what the Gemara meant, that this machlekes Rav and Shmuel is ketanoi. Because the first man, the Yoma, says very clearly, ketanoi. Yochas or Kenny or Zrika Achas, no, it's Sovet, I would think Sovet, you have to go Makiv. Okay, it's Kimim Gama, Shnei Matoni Shein Arba, that's just like Shmuel. In fact, even use the same term, the Kimim Gama. Here's Kimim Gama, Rice says Kimim Gama. And Rabbi Shmuel learns like Rav, put four all together, two in this, two in the other. Good. Freit Timori Mal Alon Arba Matonis Al Arba Kronis, Avkan Arba Matonis Al Arba Kronis, says the Gemara, maybe Taka, you have to do it on the four Kronis, and therefore not down below, but up above on the four Kronis Malish, just like a Karb Mechatas. After all, if you're saying I'm learning one from the other, because it says Savit, so maybe you here too have to do all four Kronis all the way on top, etc. Amris, Oyle Tuni Yesoit, the Karen Mizrachis Troimis, Lahoye Lo Yesoit. When you're talking about the Oyle, there every single time you're putting the Dam down below of the Chutzah Sikra, like we learned yesterday, 2 days ago, based on the Kal V'Choymes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, Mada Tashvich Shiraim has to be on the Yisoy. Then certainly the Tetchilas Oyle, the Gemara used that expression, also has to be on the Yisoy. So it doesn't mean you go and pour it on the Yisoy itself. What it means is that you have to put it on the corners where there was a Yisoy down below. It didn't have that Yisoid, and that's the Yisoid of understanding the whole Gemara, to have a good foundation in the Gemara. There was a Yisoid on the Mizrachis Tzvoinis, that's the northeastern. You also had on the southwestern, so those were the two diagonals, that was great. But you can't start off with the northeastern, because there was no Yisoid there whatsoever.
Right.
Okay.
No, northeast.
Very good. Okay. So now, from here, we get into, if you will, Ashtikal Agarata. My time of White Taka didn't have Yisoid. Amr Blut Lefishli Hoyse Bechelkoi Shel Toireif, because it wasn't in the Chelik of Binyamin. Binyamin is called Toireif because it says in the pasuk Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof. So since we're talking about Binyamin Yitrof, so the Gemara uses that expression of Toireif. And what does all of that mean? If you have the picture here of the Mizbeach here in the Rashi, this picture, by the way, is much better than the old-fashioned Gemara, because the old-fashioned Gemara is really, it's not the correct dimensions. Okay. Anyway, you see the Mizbeach there in the middle. The Gemara conveniently leaves out the Kevesh, so you don't get confused. Now, notice that you have on the Dorim side is to the right, and Mizrach side is to the north of this picture, that is. Then you have Tzofen and Marv. The central square, which the Gemara calls, which the picture calls the Mizbeach, is exactly a square. On the floor, it was 32 by 32. As you got higher, the Mizbeach was 30 by 30. As you got all the way to the top, it was all together 28 by 28. But it was a real square in every respect. Around that square, you'll notice there's that extension, which we call the Yesoid, the foundation. Usually foundations are down below. I think yesterday you said we should call it the base. And I think that's has a good base. It's not a baseless comment. That has a good basis for it. Yeah. So you see that base, on the left-hand margin, it says Yesoid Binyamin and small oisias. And on the bottom, it also says Yesoid Binyamin. And that was the full wall, a full base going the entire length and beyond. And then when you got to the Dorim side, notice there's only a small little amachol there, a little amma sticking out from that base. And the same thing on the top, when you got to the Mizrach side, only a little amma sticking out. And that's why when the Mizrach droimi, you didn't have any base at all. That was totally baseless. Gunish, no base whatsoever. Okay, very good. So now the question is, why didn't the base extend on the other two sides? Why did you have a full base on the Tzofet, full base on the Marav, but you didn't have any base, not any, you had only an Amma on the top here and on the right-hand side? And the reason is because where it says Yesoid Binyamin, which means that was Binyamin's property. On the other hand, on the top and on the right, you see it says Yehuda in small oisius, because that was Yehuda's property. And therefore, what our Gemara is telling us is something really fantastic, that the Beis HaMikdash, which stood in Yerushalayim, part of the Beis HaMikdash was on Binyamin's property, part was on Yehuda's property. The part that was on Binyamin's property that had the additional Yesoid on both sides.
And the Hechel and everything else, everything was there really. And all the old.
And yeah, we could talk about the David and whether the.
He also had 10 children.
Anything else good?
In some way named after Yosef.
Very good. That's the Rashi. And how many survived after the ego?
Right.
So he says only 5 out of the 10. You look at Rashi. Anyway, it's all very sad. But none of that is really negiah to Agamar. What is negiah to Agamar is that where Binyamin would have added a further Yosef to the top and to the right of this picture, Binyamin could not, because it wasn't his property. That was Yehuda's property. Mm-hmm. And Yehuda, for whatever the reason, decided he's not making Yosef. So back to our Gemara, just to repeat those few words. The Gemara said, Mizrachas droimis loyal yesoid my timer. I'm a lot of it wasn't in Binyamin's head, it was in Yehuda's head. That means that the additional part of the yesoid of the Mizbeach, that was in the Chedek Shel Yehuda, one Amma. The Gemara doesn't mean literally because that in fact was invisible. There was no yesoid there, no Mizbeach there. It's just an expression. What the Gemara is saying is that the continuation of the Mizbeach, had we added an Amma corresponding to the Amma on the other sides, it would have been an extra Amma, but there wasn't really an extra Amma there. It was just space, empty space. But that was all in the Chedek of Yehuda. How wide was that space? The same width as a regular Yesoid, an Amma throughout the Mizrach side and throughout the Dorim side. That one Amma is like a Ritzua, like a small strap or a little strip of land that belonged to Yehuda that entered into the Chevek of Binyamin. Not literally entered into it, but it means that it took over where Binyamin would have, should have, could have had an additional Yesoid. Ah, he didn't have it. And in fact, Binyamin was quite upset. He wished that he could go and conquer that additional Amma on the right and the Amma on the top, so that he could go and continue making the Yesoid, and be able to say, the home is back with the Yesoid, everything is in my Chedek. How do I know that Binyamin was Mitztarish? And am I? Choifef olav kol hayoy. Rashi said the word choifef is like a person who's scratching his head and in worry. What am I going to do now in scratching? Should I go here? Should I go there? We have a new mayor. Should I approach him nicely or should I do something? So choifef means kind of you're scratching your head. What do you do?
It's all just for shampooing. Like Hillel was shampooing his head. Erev Shabbos.
Yes, very good. Very good. It says also by women they have to do a chafifa
before they immerse themselves in the mikvah.
Same word. So Binyamin Hatzadi was hysterical. Yom the night the choyfa kol yom lefichach, because that zoch Binyamin Hatzadi v'nasa ush zichnin lahakadosh baruch hu. Therefore he became like the innkeeper, the host of the kadosh baruch hu. Shnemar uvein kiseifav shochei, which means that the Beis Hamikdash on the Har Moriah is like lying in between two higher points of Yerushalayim. It's like in a somewhat of a small valley between the two posts on the side, which is similar to the head extending from the middle between the shoulders. So that's how the Beis Hamikdash also stood there in the middle. Thanks, Sefer Shochei. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Zag.
One shoulder from each
continue tomorrow. I'm sorry?
One shoulder from Yehudim, one shoulder from Binyamin.
I think both shoulders were Binyamin, but Mir Tashem will learn more about this when we...